super speedways, they have to put a restrictor plate on the carburetor, which means is on these carburetors that take the air in, they got to put a plate to reduce the size of the carburetor intake so that it won't go so fast because it can be dangerous. Have you ever heard one of those cars be cranked up? They are loud. I mean, there's no mufflers on these things. They're going 200 plus miles an hour. Woo! How would you like to sit in that thing and ride? I would love it. Never had the opportunity. Would love to sit in that car and just feel the speed and the power that that car has. Are you as excited as me right now? Because I just worked myself up. I'm about to go home and watch some NASCAR. I don't know. But what if you owned one of those cars? It was sitting in your driveway, and the only thing you ever did was walk out there and look at it. Look at the car. Look how nice it looks. Big number on the side, you know. It's got, you know, Home Depot, Tide, Lowe's, something on the top, right? And you walked around, you invited your friends over, and they all looked at it and said, well, that's a nice car. But you never put the keys in the ignition. What would it be like owning something that powerful and never starting it up? Never getting in it. Never putting the keys in it. Never cranking that machine up. Never putting it on the track. It's just sitting there in the driveway. We talk about it, right? We'll all stand around and talk about it. Talk about how fast it is. Talk about how nice it looks. Walk around it. We'll look at it. You know about the car. But what happens if you never crank it up? So we're going to look at Scripture today in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, Acts, and Galatians. Because I think there's three things the early disciples emphasized concerning the Holy Spirit. And these are the three things that Jesus emphasized. And if you have something to write them down, write them down. Because we're going to look through Scriptures and we're going to see how they play out in the Word. The first one is to repent and be saved. And let's repent and turn your heart towards Christ. Repent, turn your heart away from the old man and turn your heart towards Christ. The second thing that happened was to be water baptized. And the third one was to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus mentioned this. The disciples modeled this. And this was the focus of the early church and their emphasis in preaching the gospel. Is it possible that we're not changing the world? Because we've talked about changing the world. We've talked about being set free, walking in freedom. And we've talked about changing the world because that's what we're supposed to be doing, church. As Christians, we're supposed to be changing the world. Having God's kingdom of heaven advanced here on the earth. Is it possible that we are not changing the world because we have not embraced these three things in our life? Repent, be saved, be water baptized, and be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, in Scripture there are not many things that are found in all four Gospels. Very few things in the Synoptic Gospels that is found. So I think that if we can find something that's mentioned in all four Gospels, it's probably pretty important, right? If all four writers of the Gospels are mentioning the same event or the same thing, it's probably important and it's stuck in their mind and their heart or the Spirit, right, has given them the knowledge and wisdom to write it. Let me mention a couple of those things to you today. Remember the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem, right? Through the gate, beautiful. How about the Last Supper? When he sat down at the Last Supper and he had the Last Supper with his disciples mentioned in all four Gospels. The betrayal of Jesus. We talked about that, right? The betrayal of Jesus. A miracle happened there. A miracle happened at the Garden of Gethsemane. Someone's ear was chopped off. And Jesus put it back on. The crucifixion, all four Gospels, and we know that the resurrection is mentioned as well. Because through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we live our life in freedom. We repent, accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. So let's look at the Gospels, because in all four Gospels, we can find these things in all four Gospels. So we're going to go through the Scriptures pretty quick. So hang on, here we go. Here we can find in all four Gospels mentioned is this, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He says this, John is saying, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He who, Jesus Christ, he will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and fire. So who is doing the baptism here? Right? You can talk back. That's okay. Who's doing the baptism? Right? Jesus. Jesus is baptizing with the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 1, verse 8. I, talking John, says, have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So a person, a man, John is baptizing with water, and Jesus is baptizing with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Again, he's talking about Jesus baptizing with the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1, verse 32. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. Now let me pause here for a second. Why is this important? Why is it important that the Holy Spirit descended and remained upon Jesus? Because something like this had never happened before. You see, Genesis and throughout the Old Testament, we can see the obvious work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved in a mighty way throughout the Old Testament. There are lots of stories in the Old Testament where we see demonstrations of power of the Holy Spirit. However, never before until this time had the Holy Spirit come and remained on someone. Something had changed. The new covenant has been established. A new era has started because the Holy Spirit didn't just come and visit Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and it remained. Are you with me? That was a lot. I talked pretty fast. Did you catch it? Repent. Turn your hearts toward Christ. Be baptized with water, and then be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean for us? Well, you and I get the same privilege. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to just visit us. He wants to dwell and live within us. He doesn't just want to come, because I know we sing songs, and sometimes I hear prayers, oh, Holy Spirit, come. Come dwell here today. Yes, we want the anointing. We want the glory of God to be present when we come together. But the Holy Spirit doesn't want to just come visit you. The Holy Spirit wants to dwell within you. Can we get an amen there? Kind of quiet this morning. Make sure you're still with me. Let's continue on in verse 33. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water, John, said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you a question this morning. If Jesus had a gift to give, if he had a gift that he was offering you, would you not receive it? Would you not want to receive a gift that Jesus has? I'd be the first one in line. You know how those folks, I mean, you guys, y'all like the iPhones, right? Anytime a new iPhone comes out, what's happening? People are running, they're camping out, they're cooking hot dogs in a hibachi grill. I mean, they're right there 3 and 4 days before they open the doors because they want to be the first one to get that new fancy iPhone. Right, Jonathan? He didn't wait there, but he's got a new phone. Yay. So if Jesus had a gift to give, right, and he was saying, hey, I've got this gift for you, will we not be lining up? Will we not be camping outside waiting to come and receive the gift that Jesus, right, the one who died upon the cross, the Son of the living God, who performed miracles upon this earth, who died and was resurrected again, says, I have a gift I want to give to you. We should be lining up. We don't even need a tent. Give me a trash bag. I'll put it over my head. I'll stand in the door and wait. I want the gift that Jesus has. Not a man, not a church, not a religious organization can give it. And it's clear in Scripture that it is Jesus who wants to give us this gift. And I believe at some point in our life, right, the veil is removed from our face, and suddenly our spiritual eyes are opened and we can see Jesus and we welcome Jesus into our lives. How does this happen? It's pretty neat. I was talking to Maria this morning driving in. You know, who draws us to Jesus? Who draws us to that place of repentance? The Holy Spirit. The Bible is very clear. It says that the Spirit draws us to that place. It moves us to that place that we realize. It removes that veil from our eyes and we begin to see, and we can come before Christ and repent of our sins, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We call that salvation. Then we tag the name upon ourselves as Christians. I like the word Christ follower. Why? Because I need to be following Christ. And then Jesus turns around and says, hey, now that you know me, now that I'm part of your life, now that you see me for who I am, right? You've received me. I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. It's like they're ganging up on us, isn't it? It's like the Holy Spirit draws us in. Jesus, you know, he saves us. Next thing you know, he says, I've got this gift of the Holy Spirit I want to give to you. It's like they're sitting there ganging up. Well, I got you. All right, Shannon, you're not getting away. Oh, I got you. I'm ganging up on you. So the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus, and Jesus introduces us to the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you another question this morning as we begin to sort of frame this in our minds and begin to try to understand as we look at the scriptures, what were some of the last words that Jesus said before he ascended into heaven? Many of us think that it was the Great Commission, but there was some other words he said. We read in Luke chapter 24, it says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. There it is, repentance in the name of all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. He says, you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, which we know was the Holy Spirit. Then what does he say? He didn't say go. What did he say? He says, stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Acts 1:4, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, because John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So here are the disciples now, as they're hearing these commandments from Jesus, they're terrified. They're afraid. They actually think at this moment in time, right, that they're next. They're going to be the next one murdered. They watch what happened. Oh, I've got to be next. I don't think they wanted to go out at that moment and start proclaiming Jesus, right? I don't think they were ready. I think when Jesus told them to stay, they're like, whoo, thank goodness. We can go back to the upper room. We can hide. We can close the door. We can close the windows. We can have a little prayer meeting up there, you know. Someone can play the little guitar over there. We'll sing a little bit. We'll pray. He told them to stay. He said, don't go. Yes, they were afraid. Now let's fast forward, because to God's surprise, they did it. They stayed. They didn't go. They didn't go anywhere. They didn't go out and try to do it with their natural strength, with their natural mind, their natural abilities. They waited for the promise Jesus said was coming. It was a promise of what? It was a promise of what? The Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about today. We'll go back to slides 1, baptism with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verse 1, as we fast forward. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as if fire appeared upon them and rested on each one of them. And they were all, notice the word all of them, everyone in the room, the very first church service, the first prayer meeting, every single one of them, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now next week, it's Pentecost Sunday. Next week we're going to explore this more. We're going to unpack the idea. What is he talking about? What does he say, tongues? What is this about? What's the purpose? What is it? What's it for? What's the purpose? How is it used? What is it? It's in God's Word. It's here. We're going to look at it, unpack it, and see what God's Word tells us about tongues and interpretation of tongues. Some of you probably sitting there saying, uh-oh, one of those churches. No, we're not one of those churches. It's in God's Word. It's here. Why would I want to skip over a couple of pages? What does it say? We're not afraid to take these subjects and see what God's Word says about the subjects. How can it change our life? How can it make us become stronger and bolder so that we can go out and change the world? What's its purpose? Because if it had no purpose, it would not be here. So they waited. And here they are now, the disciples, they're filled, they're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then they didn't want to hide anymore. First they were hiding, they were happy, now they didn't want to hide anymore. Suddenly they were filled with boldness. They became different people. And Peter stands out on that ledge and he begins to preach a great message. And listen to what happens as he begins to preach, Acts 2, verse 38. He says, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Notice here he uses the word gift. If Jesus has a gift he wants to give, do you want to receive it? Yes. Sometimes we think the Holy Spirit, right? When we think about it and talk about it, it's that crazy uncle, that crazy part of the Trinity, right? The crazy uncle. How many of us have ever gone to those family reunions and there's that crazy family member that you know you just can't get away from? You have to talk to them. You have to be nice. How many? I've got several in my family. I don't know what happened in the Canoy family, but there's a lot of them. There's a lot of crazies. But the Holy Spirit is not that crazy uncle. He's not that crazy member. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God, and He wants to give us that gift. So what does it say? He says, so repent, turn from your sinful ways, do not do them anymore, be water baptized. And notice that water baptism was following repentance, right? Repent from your sins, be water baptized, and then receive the gift, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And if this is a gift from God, a gift that Jesus Christ is giving, do you want it? Yes, I want it. Verse 39, for the promise, listen to this, this is the key. This scripture here is the key. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off in Webster, Massachusetts. It is for you, for your children, and for those who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. Is God calling all of us unto Him? Yes. He is no respecter of person. He calls us. The Spirit urges and moves us, and we come unto Him. And we repent of our sins. He is calling us to Himself. That's the message I want us to take to the community. As we begin to settle into that property and settle into that church, I want us to go to the community and just meet the needs. Is there something we can do? I was talking with Desmond. Desmond said, hey, can we just go to the houses and knock on doors? Is there something we can help you with? Can we rake some leaves? Can we fix a fence? Is there something we can do? Because if we begin to meet those needs and let people know that we love them, that we're real people, we're real, real people. We've got real problems, real issues. Real humanity lives in here. But that humanity has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're real people. We want to create real relationships, not fake relationships. Don't just come up and say something because you think that somebody wants to hear it. Real relationships. I want to know who you are. I want you to know me. And as I continue to preach the word and begin to share, you're going to get to know me more because I'm pretty transparent. Sometimes I say too much. And when we go home, Maria says, you know. I think sometimes we wrestle with this idea, and let me address something very delicately today about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Because there's a lot of false teaching in our world. This teaching that says that the work of the Holy Spirit has passed. That it's no more. That the work of the Holy Spirit was done away with when the last apostle John passed away on the island of Patmos. It's done. We don't need it anymore. We've got the written word. Yes, we have the written word. But the power of the Holy Spirit still works today. if God's still a miracle working God, if you can still say, hey, I've experienced a miracle in my life, that's the working of the Holy Spirit. We cannot say, right, that we don't believe in the gifts and the working of the Holy Spirit today and then go down before God and pray for a miracle. How can we do that? This is the supernatural we're talking about. God hasn't changed. In other words, when Jesus said it was finished, and I've said this three times, I'll stop at number four. When Jesus says it is finished, He accomplished everything He needed to accomplish. And He says, I'm coming back to fulfill that promise and bring heaven back upon this earth. A new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. But in the meantime, right, in this schism of time, in the meantime, what's going on? We're fighting a battle. And the enemy wants to confuse us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to divide us because he doesn't want us to walk in the fullness of God. Because when we as the church are walking in the fullness, in the freedom of Christ, there's nothing that can stand in our way for the purpose of proclaiming the kingdom of God here on this earth. Amen? We're not here, right, to just have some good music up here on Sunday morning. We're not here so that we can count you and put a number on a piece of paper. That's not what the church is about. And too many times today in the churches, they're preaching the gospel of accommodation. Let me tell you from the pulpit what sounds good to you to make you feel good. Because then you'll keep coming back to church. And if you keep coming back to church, you'll keep giving. We'll raise more money. We can build a bigger building and pack more people in it. That's not the church. The church is you and I being hearing the truth of God's word. Sometimes the truth hurts a little bit. Sometimes we're walking in a direction we should not be walking. This past week, the truth hit me hard. I dealt with a lot. I was sick. I was laying up in the bed. I was coughing. And then the devil's trying to divide and destroy. I was ready to just roll up in a fetal position, a big fetal position. Roll up in a fetal position, right? And just quit. That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to quit. But when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, now we have the boldness and the power to keep pressing forward. So yes, the working of the Holy Spirit is still in our life today. He says this, for your children and for all those who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls. That's me, that's you, that's us, that's everyone who receives. Let's fast forward again. Let's keep going through Acts here. This is Linda, this is the fast version, all right? We're taking the fast version through Acts, all right? You guys are taking the slow version. We're on the fast train. All right, so the disciples now, here's what happens. The disciples, with these very simple instructions, repent, be water baptized, and be baptized with the Holy Spirit, they begin to leave Jerusalem. And with boldness, they begin to go out into the known world. And persecution began to come to the church. Sometimes persecution can have positive effects. Because what happened was, because of the persecution of the early church in Jerusalem, they began to run. They began to leave. And what happened was, they began to scatter over the known world. And where they ended up, they began to preach the gospel, the truth that they had heard. He said they would preach, repent, turn to Jesus. They would preach, be baptized with water, and then be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, Philip ends up in Samaria. And he preaches a simple message. And what happens? Miracles begin to happen. It says that evil spirits begin to be cast out. Let's read it. Acts 8, verse 14. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, that's what we're doing today, we're receiving the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Right? They had already repented. I believe they probably had already been baptized, and now, right, they're receiving, be prepared to receive the Holy Spirit. For it had yet not fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Let me point out a couple of things. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you just need someone to lay their hands on you. Right? Remember we talked about healing. If any one of you are sick, James says, sick, just call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, lay hands upon them and pray the prayer of faith, and they'll be healed. And we talked about the laying of hands means that you're coming to someone more spiritual who's gone through, they've gone through this journey, and they're praying, their faith is strong, and they're praying their faith in God to heal, and they anoint with oil. The anointing with oil is just this. It's a representation of the anointing, the Holy Spirit. So your focus is not on your sickness. Your focus is not on your disease. Your focus is not on what the possible outcome can be. Your focus is upon God, the one who does the healing. And sometimes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need someone to lay hands and say, hey, we're going to pray now. And this is what is happening here. We don't see any mention of tongues here in this particular passage. There's no mention of tongues as a gift. But it's obvious that they received the Holy Spirit. Let me say this. The tongues is not the only evidence in the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You want to know what the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life is? It's when all the gifts can begin to work in your life. The Holy Spirit will help you turn your heart away from the old man. And it's evident here. Let's read on here. Let's fast forward. Let's go Cornelius, the Roman centurion. He's heard about God. And he's become a follower of Jesus Christ. And he invites Peter into his home. And this is the interchange that they have here. It says, while Peter was still saying these things, it says, we know he's preaching, right? He's sharing the truth of Jesus Christ. It says, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Not just the men, not just the ladies. All. It fell on all who heard the word. And the believers And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed. These were the Jews that were there. They're like, wait now, these are Gentiles. These are not Jews. Well, what's happening here? They were amazed at the fact that the Holy Spirit has now fallen upon everyone who heard. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Thank you, because I'm a Gentile. Right? Thank you, Lord. You remembered me. Because I needed it. Let's keep reading. 46. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling or praising God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And they commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain a few days. Notice here that water baptism did not precede the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now I want to tell you about my experience. At the age of 15, I repented of my sins. I turned my heart away from the world and turned my heart towards Christ. And I was drawn into him and overcome with emotion and joy that I knew that Christ has now redeemed me. I've become part of the family. I was filled with love and joy. My life was changed. And I began to pray, Lord, what is next? And they prayed for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit just a few moments after receiving salvation. I don't think there was much time between that to be baptized, right? So does baptism have to always follow repentance? Yes. Does it always have to precede the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No. Not particularly in that order, as we see here. What is baptism all about? I may be jumping ahead here. Let's just keep going. I'll get to it in a moment. Acts 19, let's continue on here, another story. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? In other words, when they repented and turned their hearts toward Christ, when you believe, they said no. It says, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. Let me stop here for a second. Life Church, I don't want anyone ever here to say, I've never heard that there was a Holy Spirit. So let me say it. There is a Holy Spirit. He wants to live in you. He wants to give you boldness and strength and the gifts you need to carry forth the gospel to those who will hear. There is a Holy Spirit. Amen? You have heard. There is no excuse now. We have heard the truth. There is a Holy Spirit. He wants to be part of your life. So let's keep reading. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. In other words, they were baptized in water. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. There were about 12 men in all. And I believe sometimes as believers, we don't go through all these steps. Sometimes we stop short. In today's message, I want to encourage you that if you have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, that can change today. If you are a follower of Christ, if you've repented and you're sure, because that the way you know that you're a follower of Christ, let me ask you today, how many of you have been, well, let's talk about baptism for a second. Let me just address this issue. How many of you here grew up in the Catholic Church? How many of you were baptized as an infant? How many of you have been baptized since? What's the difference? Nowhere in the Scriptures, let me say this again, nowhere is infant baptism found in the Scriptures. Not a single place. In other words, how can a baby, right, as we saw today in this dedication, how can she repent of her sins? She doesn't even know right from wrong at this place. She has not come to that place of accountability. In other words, water baptism happens when you repent, when repentance comes to your heart. Because what water baptism is, it's you saying this. Because I heard someone say this one time. Well, you know, because I was talking about this. Hey, why don't we get a baptismal tank, stick it out on the property over there, outside, throw a few acoustic guitars together, and let's just have a good old baptism service. Right? Someone says, well, I don't know if I want to be baptized. Too many people watching. Really? What's the whole point? The point of baptism is that you are being buried to your old man. You're being washed clean and you have been raised up like Christ, a new person. You want the world to know. You want everyone to see. That's what baptism is. Sometimes we've turned it into this ritual. We've turned it into this religious thing that we got to check off of our list. That's not what it is. Baptism is a miraculous event in your life. Because now you're saying, I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed that I'm a son and I'm a daughter of the Most High. I am not ashamed and I want to proclaim it to the world. Let me be cleansed of my sins. Let me be baptized and raised up with Christ in a new life. If you fall into that category and you say, well, I'm not real sure, we're going to have a baptism service. The plan was to have it on the 7th of June. So if you say, well, Pastor, I'm not real sure. I need to talk to you about it. Please, Martin, get a piece of paper. When service is over, go put your name on that list. I want to talk to you about baptism. Because I think sometimes we have been baptized as little kids and babies, but we were not understanding the repentance that needed to happen. Repent of your sins. Turn your heart toward Christ. Be baptized in water and then be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 sums this up. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Repent, be baptized with water, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, let's bury that old guy. Let's bury the old Shannon. Let's bury him and watch the new one come back. So here's another question. Is there any internal wrestling going on inside of you when you're tempted by sin? Because this is what I want the crux to be here. The idea of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Joseph, you can come. Begin to play. Because here's what happens. I counseled a gentleman not too long ago, maybe 2 years ago. He was a little older than me. He asked me this question. He said, Pastor, I don't know what's going on, but I received Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. But why on the inside? And when things pop up on that TV that I shouldn't be watching, why is there no struggle? Why do not I not feel any conviction? What's going on? I thought about it and I realized, you know what? When we receive Christ, we repent of our sins, we're still going to sin. We're still going to fall. We're human beings in the imperfect world ruled by the enemy. Our humanity stands in our way all the time. We're going to sin. And then we can go before Jesus. We can ask for repentance and He will forgive us. He'll forgive our sins. And then we're sort of refreshed and we continue to walk. But why is it? What happens? How can we get to the place we're not actually doing that? How can we get to the place when the temptation of sin comes that we don't fall to the temptation, that we're able to stand and say no? We're able to stand with boldness and say no. What happens, right? When you're looking at that computer screen and something, man, pops up, lady, something pops up that shouldn't be on there, right? Sin is ready to dive in, right? What does the Holy Spirit begin to say? He says this, as for me and my mouse, we're going to serve the Lord. I did say mouse, by the way. You're supposed to laugh there. That was pretty serious. I know you were tied up into the seriousness of the message, right? We got to keep the humor, right? What happens? Because when you're filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, there's a struggle that goes on. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, now He's dwelling within you, there needs to be a battle. There needs to be a struggle. There needs to be this great battle raging on the inside where the old man, the sinful nature, is trying to rise up. But the Holy Spirit begins to build and work and battle that old man. I want the battle to happen. I want it to happen in my heart. I want it to happen in my mind. I don't want to fall to that temptation. I want there to be a rage. I mean, look, from Mississippi, I want the Holy Ghost. I want Him to beat up on that old man. I want Him to beat him down like a 2-year-old in Walmart. That's how bad I want Him to beat him down. Down south, back in the old days, that's what happened. You go to Walmart, the candy aisle, and Mama's, no, you can't have that. I want that candy. There's a battle going on. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed. They are in opposition to each other. The battle is raging. God's Word tells us that what the flesh wants, what the Spirit wants, they're in opposition. Let that battle rage on the inside, because when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit of God, not only do you have boldness as the disciples to proclaim the gospel, to preach the gospel, now you have the strength to win that battle. Now you don't have to keep falling down before the Lord asking forgiveness for those sins over and over and over. Now you're able to stand and make a stand and win the battle. And we don't fall to the temptation. That's the life that Christ wants us to live. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Is there a conflict going on in your heart today? Because I know we live in a crazy, sex-filled, sensual world. And that temptation is always there. The enemy has made it so accessible to us in every way. But I want that battle to continue to rage on the inside. And I want the Holy Spirit within me to stand up and win the fight. Because we need the Holy Spirit activated and working in us to keep us from doing the things that we don't want to do. And when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, we get a new wanter. I got a new wanter now. Those things that I want to do, the Holy Spirit says, let me give you a new wanter. Now you're going to want to do different things. You want to do the things that are glorifying, edifying to the Father. We get a brand new wanter living on the inside of us. Why? And because we've said yes to the Holy Spirit. As we close today, how many of you today have never said yes to that third part of the Trinity? How many of you never said yes to the baptism with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to pray. Matter of fact, I'm going to just ask right now, you know, as we're going to close here, just I'm going to ask our prayer team to come. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's evident in their life. And we're going to dismiss in a moment. But if you have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, I want you to come. Let us pray with you. Because it will change your life. You'll stop hiding in the upper room trying to have a little prayer service. We will stop hiding within our little churches trying to be happy in what we're doing. And we'll have the boldness to step outside those walls and start proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's a lot of hurting people in this world, and it's time for the church to stand up and do something about it. I'm tired of calling myself a Christ follower, calling myself a Christian, and not doing something about it. And that battle is going on. That battle is going on inside of me. It's not comfortable and it's not easy, but the Holy Spirit will give you boldness. And maybe we get persecuted a little bit. It's okay. Maybe they'll cause us to want to dig in a little deeper and share a little harder, meet a couple of more needs. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning and let's pray? Please don't leave today. A couple of things before you leave. If you've not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, please come and be prayed for today. I'm going to pray as well. I believe that I can pray and the Holy Spirit can just baptize you where you're at. He can, just like it was. Scripture says it. Scripture said it today. We read it. If you haven't been water baptized and you've repented and you're a Christ follower, maybe you were baptized as an infant and you haven't made that choice as an adult where you said, I have repented of my sins. When you go out there to see Martin and sign up, we're going to have a baptism service. We're going to go ahead and clear all that up moving forward. We're going to glorify God. We're going to die to the old man. We're going to die to the old self. And we're going to be risen again as Christ. So don't leave until you have that opportunity. So let me pray for you right now. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, your word is the truth. You speak the truth. We've read your word today. And Father, we want the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. I pray now that anyone who is here today that has not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, I pray you touch them right now where they're at. Lord, you let your power, you let your Spirit begin to come into their heart right now. Let their heart be changed. They want to live with that battle that rages against the old man. I pray that that old man would go away. He would be gone and the Holy Spirit would come and give us boldness. The Holy Spirit would come and give a new life into their hearts today. Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you for this gift, Jesus, that you want to give. It's a gift, Father. We receive that gift today. Why? Because we want to walk in the fullness and live in the fullness that you want us to, that you desire us to. So come, Holy Spirit, dwell within us, remain upon us, just like you did when Jesus Christ came to be baptized. It said it remained upon him. We just pray this in Jesus' name. And let's say it together, amen, amen, amen. I love you.